It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest, good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen. Because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're glad you're here. We're celebrating today because this is the 2-year anniversary of the A Couple Cooks podcast. And if you've been tuning in for the whole time, you've heard everything from celebrity chefs to down and dirty farmers and dozens of deep and inspirational stories along the way.
We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, whether you've been here from the beginning or whether this is your first episode. And one thing we want to do to thank you is we're doing a great giveaway. Make sure to listen to the end of this episode to get the giveaway details.
If there's one theme that is common across most of our podcast, it's that people are at the heart of food. It's not health, it's not flavor, it's people. And when you have people and you have food.
And you have fun.
And you have fun.
Right.
I guess. Then you have yourself a dinner party. So this episode is all about dinner parties.
We are partying down with a dinner party expert. Her name is Megan Gilger. She's the creative director behind the blog Fresh Exchange and the brand. And part of her brand is having gatherings every so often and posting about them on her blog. And you will see gatherings from very simple and intimate to very large and ornate.
Megan and her husband, Mike, live in Traverse City, Michigan, which is just the most beautiful area. We've been up there, and it is a place where you want to sit down with friends and have some beautiful food with great people.
And since this is our 2-year anniversary show, we had a special appearance from Alex as well. So he joined me in the interview with Megan. Here she is. Megan Gilger, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Hey, guys. I'm really excited to be here.
We wanted to talk about dinner parties today, and we know that you're very into them, but you're not a professional dinner party thrower. What exactly do you do?
Well, I have a blog called The Fresh Exchange, and on it we talk about intentional seasonal living, and I believe that a huge part of seasonal living is the act of gathering, and I do not believe that it has to be complicated or difficult or anything more than just a beautiful moment to come together with those that you want to celebrate life with.
Is this something that you have felt since you were young, or how did you develop this passion for gathering together?
My dad comes from a huge family. He's one of 5 kids, and all of our holidays and things like that, my grandmother was very specific about how we set the table and teaching us how to set the table properly. And we would have these huge dinners in their house, and it just was really special. And I grew up with, 13 cousins, and we would have these big dinners in the summer. And I think it really impacted me. But I also grew up where my parents really made it a point to sit around the table, and we would have big holiday dinners and everything. And so the table has always been a pinnacle part of life for me. I think it was just a natural way when I started having I had these friends, and I wanted them to meet each other, and I would have them all over for a big dinner party. And I just loved making it this special experience and everybody kind of bringing something to the table, whether that actually was physically making the table or because that's something they did, or making paella, or even just like coming with drinks or whatever. Everybody kind of brought something, and that's how I kind of viewed gathering. And so it then made its way onto the blog, and because I loved it so much, and the blog is a representation of all the things that I love in my life and hope to inspire other people to feel and experience on their own.
So what do you feel like is the minimum requirement for a dinner party? Do you have to have steam linens and shine silverware?
No, not at all. In fact, I prefer the complete opposite. I really love the imperfections in a dinner party. And because I'm not a micromanager, anybody who's attended one of the dinners that has come onto the blog or, been in a publication or anything like that, it's very rare that I'm steaming anything. There's only been a few times actually, I think I have a steamer, but no, I really love the imperfection of how a linen can feel when it hasn't been ironed, or, you know, I love the detail thing that organically happen when things are imperfect, because when we micromanage things, we lose the ability to actually see what the dinner is actually about. And in all truth, no matter what Pinterest tells us or we see out there or in a magazine, even the things I produce, I'm always like, you know, the things that really matter every single time are the food and the people. And there's this image of a dinner party that I just did recently that I talked about it on Instagram. It's my favorite image that I've ever had on my blog. And I thought about this dinner party for 5 years because I knew the exact situation that would happen. And it's the candlelight hitting all the people's faces in it. And why I love that is because it just shows what matters most in that moment. And that's all that you really need. As long as you have food, you got people, and of course some good drinks and some candlelight. It doesn't matter what the glassware looks like. It doesn't matter, you know, if you have paper plates, you know, that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
That's funny, yeah. Because my next question was, do you feel like the balance between people and food is even? Or I actually was reading the New York Times Magazine just had an article called The Art of the Dinner Party, and they said that it's not about what is eaten, but more about what is said at the table.
Absolutely. And I don't really like small talk. And neither does Mike. And so I think we are always people that are just like, I want to like know you. If you're sitting at my table, like, I want to know you. Like you, it's not like we're just going to sit here and talk about the weather, or like the snow's coming, or like things like that. We're going to talk about real things. Like we're going to talk about the trip that changed your life. Or we're going to talk about, you know, that time that whatever, whatever it may be, like I'm going to cut to the chase of it because that's what really matters when you're sitting around the table. I recently had this dinner party where I did this thing where I knew everybody that was coming to the dinner party. And so I don't normally make name tags or like things like that. But this time I did. And it was, I invited three women and I asked each of them to bring somebody that no one else may know in the group. And so like another woman with them. And so it was six women, including myself, so seven. And we had these name tags, and inside of them, I just random, like I wrote the questions in the inside of them, like, and then folded it and wrote the names of every person. And inside of it, like I had all these different questions. And since none of these women knew each other, I knew that the best way for them to get to know each other was for them to be asked a question like this. And by the end of it, after we all answered these different questions, you know, everybody's like, I just feel like I made like six new best friends. And I think that that's how you should always be feeling. Like when you walk, you should either feel like your relationship with the people that you're gathering with consistently has become stronger because of that meal, or you feel like you have a new friend and like a really good friend, not like just like, oh, if I see you at the grocery store, that's cool. Like, you know, I'm talking like somebody you could call and like go and have coffee with, or, you know, have over to your house for dinner, maybe in a couple weeks or something like that. And I think that that's what I love about gathering and what I want people to focus on when I talk about gathering. You know, it's not always about the pretty things, you know, that helps. I don't ever think about those things at the end of the day. So I could go on and on about all that. But
well, I think Alex and I feel the same way. That's one of the reasons that we fell in love with food in the first place was, well, that's the reason we learned how to cook, was we wanted to have some people over for dinner to our house. And we realized we could only microwave Hot Pockets and we figured we should probably learn how to cook, but it was all about relationship from the beginning for us. And I love hearing you Absolutely. Say that about the dinner parties, creating these lifelong friendships. I know Alex and I have many people in our lives that we've met at a gathering like that, and they just become fast friends.
Up here, like people really, really, truly use gatherings are a very much part of life here. Like in Leelanau County, like everybody, that's how you celebrate everything. You know, we have these seasonal shifts that are pretty drastic here, and, you know, it shuts down our worlds and begins our world, you know, in many ways up here. And so It marks harvests for certain things, you know, for grapes, for apples, for the first, you know, spring harvest, all of it, you know. And so, like, I think there's a different gathering, like, in the fall. I think you could go to a gathering, like, every night, because it's just such a part of the community and culture here. Like, people love it, and especially in the winter. And so, I think that is something that I found really inspiring about living here.
That's incredible that the community supports that so broadly. And I feel like if you visit Traverse City, the city there, you can kind of feel that love for community and that love for food. But it's cool that it goes outside the city, just into people's homes. It's a rich agricultural area as well. Do you have a favorite local food to highlight at one of those dinners?
That's like her to pick her favorite child, even though she only has one. But
like currently, that's easy. No, I mean, it's really hard. You know, this summer, I'll say this. This summer, I spent some time volunteering. I didn't get to do it as much as I wanted to, but I volunteered at a farm here that I really respect. And before I even walked onto the farm, I respected them for what they do, and they supply to a lot of the local restaurants. And I can say that I have a whole different appreciation for local agriculture and what farmers go through in order to produce food to put it on their community's table. Like, I'll never look at salad greens the same way after weeding them so often and harvesting onions at the end of August. It's very sweaty and dirty and gross, but it's beautiful, and the kind of love and dedication that Nick and Sarah at Loma Farm put into their plot of land out there is just unbelievable. And what they do for our community with that food, so many of the restaurants that people know here, such as like Stella and Alliance and Cook's House. I mean, you go down the list of like these high-end restaurants that are just amazing that we have this many in this area. You know, they supply to all of them, and their food is exceptional because of farmers like Nick and Sarah. And so I think I don't know if it's as much about like a certain food as much as it's about certain people who are pouring their lives into the food that they're creating. And so,
yeah, that's amazing. And I just can't get to shake you away from a relationship being at the core of all these dinner parties. But I need a few down and dirty details. So you throw a lot of parties outdoors. How do you manage like dishes and mosquitoes and getting things from the refrigerator to the table?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, that bug question is the number one question I get asked. And I think it's really interesting.
You're up north in Michigan. You got to have some giant mosquitoes up there.
Well, that's the thing. Is like I'm really serious. Like, even in Raleigh, I don't know if I've just like lucked out, but like when we lived in Raleigh, like I really didn't have that many bug problems. But you know, I knock on wood. But I think the best. We can address a couple things here. So first thing, like doing it outdoors. Like my thing with gatherings is I never do them alone. Many hands make for light work, and it's very true. And when we have gatherings, whoever's coming, they just know that they're gonna be put to work. But we all get to enjoy amazing food. And so everybody helps out, whether it be they're helping me bring food out or they're cooking or whatever, like everybody puts in. And typically there's no like happy hour or cocktail hour where people are like standing there and drinking and five other people are trying to set up the dinner. Like, no, everybody that's there is part of it, because I believe that like half of the fun of a gathering is the beginning and the end. And it's the, you know, getting everything ready so that we can enjoy the work that we've done, enjoying the work, and then the end being like halfway kind of drunk doing the dishes together. And I think, and dancing some awesome music while you're doing the dishes, or just going to bed and everybody, if you got like couple people, like usually there's a few people that stay the night or something, you know, then like we're all doing dishes in the morning and making breakfast, or, you know, it's, you embrace the process of it. And I think too much we see the destination of the dinner being the actual like sitting at the table, when it's the whole process that matters. And so I think when it comes to that, you know, getting it done in terms of like getting food out, like moving it from the kitchen to the table, like all of that. Like, just, you have to see it as like one big fun thing that everybody's doing together. That's how we always do it. And, but there's also like, if you're doing it like out in the middle of a field, which I've done, I highly suggest getting, there's great coolers and stuff like that. Actually, we just use some, and I highly suggest them. Bare Bones Living has these incredible coolers that like have wheels and they can be backpacks and everything. They are so useful. And like, I've done dinners on beaches. I've used wagons on beaches. Like, those don't work. These work.
Pro tip.
And, but then bugs, the best thing really is like, I don't really like saying this, but like, if you could spray, like if you have really bad mosquitoes, like I like spray, there's a lot of like natural things or semi-natural things you can do like a week or so before. But, or you can also use tiki torches. And honestly, those work great typically. Or if you know, if it's like late summer or in the fall or something like that, usually doing a fire usually keep the bugs at bay in general. So like, you can always do a fire by or near the dinner, you know, especially if you're going to cook on the open fire, like do a paella or something like that, then like that usually will help with the bugs too. But also like, just have bug spray available for people sometimes if you know it's going to be buggy or it has been buggy. That's just like a nice thing to have.
So we're moving into winter now, and probably most of the parties won't be outside. Do you have any tips for a really cozy winter dinner party?
Oh my gosh, I'm like so excited about winter dinner parties. I cannot even explain it. So for instance, we have in our little rental that we have right now, like we have like this great little fireplace, and most of the time, all of our friends, we have people over, which by the way, when I have an indoor dinner party, I don't have any more than 8 guests. Like, I just stick to that number, because if you have more than that, then you have some people in one room, a couple people in another room, or like, you know, you kind of get segmented. And I think the purpose of a dinner party is for everybody to be together. So if you have any more people than 8, usually you kind of
agree with that pro tip.
It doesn't work very well. So
we've found the same thing to be true.
Yes.
Right. 6 to 8
people. Yes. So don't feel like you have to have a big space to have a dinner party. You know what? One of the coolest things to do sometimes in the winter is like, if you have some like a cozy rug or like a sheepskin rug or like something like that, setting out like, if you have a fireplace, instead of like setting a table, it can be really fun to like do like a low table and like some pillows and like just kind of ask everybody to like bring some stuff to like make it cozy. And you can just set like some like appetizer type things or like tapas or something like that on the low table and have kind of like a casual fireside dinner. And, you know, I think you can do things like that, because what you really want, or even just do a bowl of soup, you know, like cups of soup and stuff for everybody with some bread and sit by the fire. I think that's like the greatest thing to do in the winter. And especially if you're anything like us and you like go outside and you've been outside all afternoon and then you're like, oh, I just want something warm and like sit by a fire. I think what I love about winter is that it requires us to slow down and to remember what it means to be slow, because up here, like, you can't do anything fast in the winter. Like, you're never going to do things the way that you could do it in the summer. And I think this is a great lesson. You can either fight it or you can embrace it. And I have chosen to embrace it and just say, you know what, everything takes longer. And that's a good lesson to learn.
I know a lot of our listeners have a family and children. You have a son who's how old now?
Yes. He's 20 months. So almost 2.
I know a lot of the families who listen in want to know your tips for incorporating children into a dinner party. Do you typically invite children along? Do you do it after they go to bed? How do you incorporate children in your meals?
I'll say this, like we do dinner parties with Hayes quite often. And a lot of times like he goes to bed at like 8. So typically we'll have like appetizers and stuff, and he'll eat dinner if like we have a bunch of people over. Like, he'll eat dinner when everybody's like kind of hanging out and like we're having apps and like people are kind of arriving and cooking and stuff. And then either Mike or I will take him upstairs and he'll go to bed. But like, this there was like this one that I'm posting actually a week from today. It was like a campfire dinner, and he was out with us the whole time, and he loved it. And he thought it was like the coolest thing ever that we had this campfire and we were cooking over it. And he just like loved playing with the dogs and like being outside. And he smelled like a campfire for like 3 days. And like, you know, like I think he thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And so sometimes he's at the dinner parties with us and like we'll just bring his high chair out there, or like he'll sit, now that he's a little bit bigger, he'll sit at a real seat sometimes. And he actually will participate. And I think, you know, I think you just got to do whatever you got to do. I think it's just like embracing every guest that comes in your house. You got to embrace how it's going to work for your kids. And just also, you know, try not to micromanage the situation, because you want them to see you enjoying the process and not, and like it's a wonderful thing and not something that's stressful. Because if they see it stressful, they may not enjoy it down the road, or they may see it that way as they get older. And I never grew up that way. I never saw it as stressful. I saw it as like this fun thing. You know, it was always this kind of beautiful chaos growing up with 13 cousins and, you know, all these adults around and making dinner. So there's a way you can make it fun, and it's going to be messy. It's not going to be perfect. Just know that you shouldn't put certain linens on the table or, you know, certain things like that. And that's okay. Like that, like I said, you know, even like if you are afraid of candles on the table, but you want candles, like there are the flameless candles, and those work great too. And I think you do what works for your family and what works for you that makes it not stressful for everyone. Like, for instance, we have friends that have 3 kids, and sometimes they'll come over for dinner, and we just like embrace it, like where it's like we just all eat and we're all just, it's just kind of this chaos and it's wonderful, and the kids are playing, and then they're like, we're done. And then they like go off and do their thing, and you know, and then we're sitting there as the adults drinking wine and finishing up the last bits of our dinner, and you know, they're all coloring and playing. And I think that's a lot of fun too. It's not like something you would see on Pinterest necessarily, but I think you're still connecting with that family and you're still connecting with each other. And I think that's the most important piece.
I think we had that exact dinner party with my family last night, and it was full chaos, but I was thinking during it that there's only a certain number of years here before those kids are teenagers and will just want to totally ignore us.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think we always want to perfect moments in our life when we forget that sometimes perfect's overrated.
Well, I think we'll leave it at that. Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you guys are welcome. Thanks for having me.
So Megan gave us tips for an outdoor dinner party if you live down south somewhere where it's not cold and rainy outside right now, or for a cozy indoor dinner party. But what if you just don't know what to cook?
Well, I have a great suggestion for you. It is called a cookbook club. So the cookbook club is something that's on the rise for dinner parties and supper clubs. What it is using one cookbook and then assigning recipes from that book to each guest who then brings that to the party. So instead of it being a potluck where there's kind of a mismatch of a lot of different dishes, the cookbook club is a lot more cohesive. It has recipes from the same cookbook author, so they all kind of have the same style and flair, and they go together with a lot more polish than the typical potluck dinner party.
So you're saying I kind of have the benefits of if I carefully chose a menu and spent all day cooking by myself, with the benefits of having everybody come to a party bringing a dish.
That's right. As a host, you only have to make one dish, which is really wonderful. And it comes together in this beautiful way that is unlike most dinner parties.
So you just recently wrote some of your favorite tips for a cookbook club. Can you hit us with a few of those?
Sure can. So one of the things I'm glad that Megan said was the ideal dinner party size. One of my tips was just to invite 6 to 8 people so that everybody can be at the same table, be in the same conversation. And it also helps a lot with logistics. You don't have to worry about extra silverware, plates, and that kind of thing. So that's one tip. Another tip is that you can have the host of the cookbook club, so the person who's hosting at their house, choose the cookbook. And if you would like, you can then rotate around to different houses. That makes it pretty simple. Now, one thing people ask me is, how do you pick the recipes? I can just give you a little snapshot of what we did for our own cookbook club when we did it. I just created a Google document and gave little spaces for entree or dessert, side dish. And then at the top, I wrote in any dietary preferences. And each person signed up for an item. And for the people that weren't able to get the book, I actually just took a little picture of the table of contents with my phone and put that in the Google document so people could see the choices.
One thing I loved at our last cookbook club was having each person present the dish that they brought as we sat down to eat it. That way you got a little bit of flavor of the work that each person put into the dinner.
Right. So like a little show and tell beforehand. What's exactly. The title of the dish and what did you like about making it? That kind of thing.
And having interviewed a lot of cookbook authors over the last 2 years here on the podcast, I know that they would love to be a fly on the wall to hear how people are enjoying their dishes, how maybe they're tweaking them here or there, and what it looks like as people enjoy an entire meal that is born of their labor in writing a cookbook.
One last tip. I've talked to several people who have been in successful cookbook clubs and unsuccessful cookbook clubs. And one of the important things for continuing with a club is just setting up a recurrence that works for everyone. So these days, sometimes even committing to something monthly can be hard. We've heard about a 6-week rotation, which can be good. It seems like it can fit into people's schedules a little bit better. So set up that recurrence at your first cookbook club. Say, hey, let's do this again in another 6 weeks, or even do it bi-monthly. Every other month. Is that what bi-monthly is?
Hard to say.
So all that to say, just make sure that you have a recurrence that works for you. Now, all of these tips I have in a blog post, and I will put a link to that post in the show notes.
So we know who to invite, how to decorate the table, what to eat, but I'm flat broke. What am I going to do?
Guess what? We have a giveaway for you.
We know that not everybody who listens has the same grocery store in town, so rather than going for a gift card to a grocery store, we want to help you throw a dinner party, so we're just giving out straight hard cash.
$100 cash for your dinner party. You can spend it any way you want. You can spend it on food. You can buy beautiful linens and flowers. You can do whatever you like. To enter, just head over to Instagram. We're doing our giveaway a little bit different this time. It'll be on Instagram, a post there, and enter to win. We'll have a question and you can enter a comment to win.
And if you don't have Instagram, it's a great time to sign up. You can enter this giveaway and stay on top of all of our latest recipes and adventures. We are at A Couple Cooks.
And lastly, because we are talking about dinner parties, we wanted to tell you one more time about our huge worldwide virtual dinner party that's happening in February. It is to celebrate the launch of our cookbook, and we're looking for hosts all over the world. So all you've got to do is get together with at least one person on February 17th, make at least one recipe from our book, and that's all. So we have people who are doing elaborate dinner parties. We have someone doing a Galentine's Day dinner with her girlfriends. We have someone doing a 10-person dinner party at their cooking school in South Africa. We have people all over the country just having a night in with their family and cooking just for their family. So we have things all over the board. We're so excited. Right now we have about 200 people on board for our party in 41 states and 14 countries. So we would love to have you. If you would like to host a pretty simple dinner party, just shoot me an email. I'm Sonja@acouplecooks.com. That's Sonja@acouplecooks.com.
And if you live in one of those 9 US states that we don't currently have a dinner party, we'd really love for you to sign up. So to check out that map, go over to acouplecooks.com and click cookbook and find more details about that dinner party.
If you know us, you know we like keeping things pretty simple. So our party is going to be super simple. We're going to have a couple of friends over. We're probably going to dress down, maybe have some candles.
I'm wearing a tuxedo.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yes. Maybe I'll whip out my glittery formal dress.
There we go.
Okay. But if you love having elaborate parties, we've had a lot of people saying they're so excited to have something to look forward to in February. So you can do whatever you'd like as long as you feel like it's pretty simple.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show and for tuning in for those last 56 episodes over the past couple years. As always, you can find hundreds of recipes for your dinner party or for your everyday at our website, acouplecooks.com.
Talk to you next time.